With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
How do you say the defensive end?
Unique Ngakoue.
Ngakoue.
And Chris Ello.
Okay, I'm honestly scared to do it in anyone's house but my own, let alone Dwayne Wade's house.
Me too.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
4:04 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend, in for Chris Ello. Gwen and Chris, hour number two, coming up in the next 30 minutes. If you've signed up to be 97.3 The Fan's biggest fan, 97.3 The Fan's biggest fan, listen for your name to be called and call us back in 10 minutes to win a family four pack of tickets to SeaWorld for the Lunar New Year celebration. If you call back in time, you will also be entered to win our grand prize, a Las Vegas road trip to see Aerosmith's new residency show at the Park MGM. Deuces are wild. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter so we can call your name to be the biggest fan. And that's not all. We will be giving two grand prizes out this month. All right, we got two lines filled up. We got a few lines open for Gwen versus the Fan. 833-288-0973. Let's get to it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
Pickles,
now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Gwen
versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Just for the record, I am not the human sports encyclopedia. That would be Chris, but I am doing my best to fill his
shoes. Tom Friends says yes, you are. So you got major shoes to fill.
Tom's just known me for a long time.
You got this.
We're going to play for a pair of tickets to see Miranda Lambert at the Viejas Arena along with Cody Johnson and Lanco on Friday, February 21st. For tickets and show info, go to livenation.com. I have no idea who Lanco is. Do you know who Lanco is?
I have no idea who Lanco is.
Okay. I thought that was a popular
guy. Tom, you know
guy.
Who Lanco is?
No.
Okay.
Man, we're really failing here on Lanco. Lanco news.
We didn't create the prize.
No, we didn't, but that's what you get. Miranda Lambert is the headliner, and the way you get the prize, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get it right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Tony gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Tony gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win. And as we've been doing, Tom Friend is going to be your lifeline. You get to use him once during your turn. And he's
at
still,
your own risk.
On Friday, he took an L, Tony.
He did take an L. But so did AJ.
I got one right.
You got one right. He did get
on
one
Friday?
Right. On Friday?
Yeah, I got
Friday.
One right
I
each day.
I wasn't Friday.
I'm one for three, but I'm batting.
Oh, he
I'm
knows
two
his,
for six.
He knows his
that gets me in the Hall of Fame, two for six.
Stats. All right, here we go. Sean.
But first of all, don't hang up on anybody that misses a question.
Yes, I will try not to. Sean, if I hang up on you, I'm sorry. I will never do it again.
That's okay.
Okay. And we're going to be doing a little bit of a combination of leftover Super Bowl questions and Kobe Bryant trivia.
Fitting.
So here we go. What foreign country did Kobe spend 8 years growing up in?
Italy.
Yeah, buddy.
You are correct. Good job,
Sean. Nice work,
Sean. All right, let's go to question number two for these Miranda Lambert tickets. Who was Kobe Bryant's first shoe deal upon becoming an NBA player?
Adidas?
Correct.
Oh, you are correct. Good job. All right, Sean. You might sweep this thing without even getting to Tony, but
keep asking him Kobe Bryant questions. I think he will.
Well, I mean, I told you just now. All right, here we go. It's another Kobe question. Sorry. What team did Kobe Bryant make his NBA debut against?
I'll have to go with my lifeline.
Ah, here we go, lifeline. You can hear Tom over here say no.
If you would have saw your lifeline's face when they asked that question, so I don't think you would have went to your lifeline. True.
Tom, do you know what team Kobe Bryant made his NBA debut against?
First, I want to say sorry to the gentleman here on the phone. His debut. Well, let's think about it. Who would the Lakers open with in his first
team? 96 now.
96, 97 Jeez. Season. I'm not saying this is the answer,
but
it would either be the Suns or the Clippers, and I'm going to say the Suns.
The Suns is incorrect, but I don't know if Tony knows this. This is kind of a trick question, but he has this look on his face like he does know it.
I do know it.
You do?
I do. I'm a Kobe fan.
I know.
Wasn't it the Timberwolves?
It was the Timberwolves. Wow. Good job. Sorry about that, Sean.
Sorry, Sean.
That's right. Good job, Tony.
Thank you, brother.
I guess I shouldn't be asking Kobe questions.
I know Kobe really well, but I didn't know that one.
The number he didn't play his first game. By the way.
He didn't play his first game. Yeah. That's why I know. Is because I sat there for all four quarters
waiting
wanting to see
him
play. Because remember, he broke his wrist when the first year, so he missed a portion of the beginning of the season. So I didn't get. So I sat there, waited for him, and didn't get a chance to see him. I had to tune in the next night to watch the Timberwolves.
Yes.
Only started one game that
he
year.
He got a nice dunk.
Who knew 23 or 24 years later you would need that information
right?
to win a Gwynn versus
and you
Chris.
Were, and you thought you weren't an encyclopedia?
Yeah, right?
I might be a Kobe encyclopedia.
All right. Here we go, David. This is an uphill battle for you callers against the Kobe encyclopedia. How are you doing today, David?
What's up, David?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for calling in. Here we go. First question for the Miranda Lambert tickets. This is going to be an easy one. What was Kobe Bryant's middle name?
Bean.
Correct. If you listen to the show for any amount of time, anytime Kobe's mentioned, it's Kobe Bean Bryant if Tony is talking about him. So here we go. Second question, and we're going to switch it up with a little bit of a football question. What player holds the record for most career fumbles in a Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
And you do have your lifeline, David.
I'm going to go with my lifeline.
You're going to go with your lifeline. All right, Tom Friend. What player holds the record for most career fumbles in a Super Bowl?
Let's think. It has to be somebody who played multiple Super Bowls and running around crazy. Roger Staubach?
That is correct.
Oh!
That is correct. Did you see me? I had to double-check the answer because I didn't expect
you
it.
I did not expect it.
Wow. Good job,
Roger
Tom.
The Dodger, man.
All right. But that's it, David. You are now on your own for questions since you used a lifeline. Here is the third and final question for you. What team was Kobe Bryant playing against when he scored 62 points in three quarters?
Phoenix.
That is incorrect, and I know that Tony knows. This is kind of unfair.
Just been talking about this.
This is me, the Dallas Mavericks. Old Dell Harris, the coach that did let him play for 3 years, was the head coach for the Dallas Mavericks that day. And story goes, he won at 62 point, or he got to 62 at the end of third. They say, "Hey, man, you want to go back in?" He was like, "Nah, I have another chance at it." Next couple days later, he goes for 81. Sorry, David.
Wow. Sorry, David.
Do I need to come up with a trivia question like Chris does? Or
I think so.
Oh, man. All right. Trivia. Trivia.
For the caller.
For the remaining callers.
You want a trivia? Well, we don't want to tell the caller. We don't want to tell the caller.
Here we go.
I got. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
You got one?
No, you go.
In what year did Kobe Bryant make his first All-Star game?
Oh, okay. I like it.
Hang on.
That's
tough. You four callers that...
No lifeline on that one.
...were on the line. Hang on. And
Let me see.
First caller that Thomas takes, get a chance to answer to get it right, you'll win that prize. All right. We got to go to break. When we come back, Rob Bradford covers the Red Sox.
More Mookie Betts talk.
WEEI.com will join us to maybe talk a little bit about this Mookie Betts. What possibly could get this deal done? We'll talk about it when we return. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Sudi. 419 on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend in for Chris Ello. Talking some baseball, and it's starting to percolate up a little bit here in San Diego, some of the rumors concerning Mookie Betts. And I thought there would be no better person to join us on the SDCCU fan hotline than Rob Bradford, who covers the Red Sox for Sister Station WEEI. Rob, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, listen, Mookie's good for business. I mean, the Mookie conversation is good for business for everybody. So it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Well, I'll start a different way because we've all heard the rumors that are circulating around Mookie Betts. Have the Red Sox and Mookie actually talked extension at all?
Yeah, they've talked extension for the last 3 years. And our own Lou Maloney actually came out today and with some particulars. And it sounds like, and I had heard this too, last spring training, they had offered him 10 years, $300 million. Now, he's asking for around $410 million over 12 years, so they're not really close, or they weren't close at that time. And I think what it comes down to, guys, is that Mookie's looking to be close to Mike Trout. And you know, the Red Sox are probably, you know, looking closer to Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. But the market's going up toward Mike Trout. And if Mookie Betts has a year like he did in 2018, then he is going to get Mike Trout money. And Mookie's a guy who's bet on himself the entire way. And so that's probably he's going to dig in and see what he can get.
Well, what do you feel about his interest in Boston long term? If they've been negotiating for 3 years, there's been nothing. I mean, you think he wants to be there? Do people think he wants to be there?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think that he doesn't mind Boston. I think it's for him, and he said this before, this is a business thing. This is, he set his price. If you want to meet his price, he'd be more than happy to stay in Boston.
Right.
Now, I've always said, you know, it's a dangerous thing. Mookie Betts is a great player, but unlike the NBA, they don't run isolation for outfielders,
right?
You know, it's you eat that much coin, like you're going to be hamstrung in other areas. So I think the Red Sox are wary of that, and Chaim Bloom, the new chief baseball officer, is wary of it. So they're setting their price. Mookie's setting his price as he has all along the way, and I think that's going to continue to be the case.
Yeah, and I'm sure with the Red Sox reportedly trying to get under that luxury tax, $415 million doesn't necessarily help that cause. I want to ask you a little bit, though, Rob, what you're hearing on your end, because in this rumor mill with the Padres, you're hearing some prospects, you're hearing Will Myers, depending on the portion of contract, amount of contract that the Padres are willing to pay. What do you think it takes to get a deal like that done from the Red Sox standpoint?
Well, I think that the Red Sox, you know, the Red Sox don't have to trade Mookie Betts, and I don't think their intention was to trade him.
Right.
Now, if a team like the Padres or the Dodgers came up and said, we're going to give you something that exceeded the Paul Goldschmidt deal, something that is going to set you up for the future, even though you're only getting Mookie Betts for 1 year, $27 million for that year, then the Red Sox would take the deal, especially if it involves a starting pitcher who you think is going to emerge into a top-of-the-rotation guy. So if the right deal came along, yeah, the Red Sox would deal Mookie Betts. But I've always been skeptical if the right deal would come along, because if you're the Padres, like, you have to be realistic about this.
Yeah.
You have 1 year at $27 million hit for a really good player, but a guy that I don't think is going to jump at signing an extension with you. So that's a lot to give up. So I think that's why I'm a little bit wary. One thing is, guys, though, is that I do think when I first saw the San Diego reports come out the other day, I'm like, there they have it. It's leverage. Mm. The leverage, Dodgers versus the Padres, that goes a long way.
Well, you just said something. I mean, first of all, on him re-signing in San Diego, from the outside looking in, you think what you know about Mookie Betts, that he would literally consider the San Diego Padres. If money is going to be an issue, obviously, but would he really consider San Diego long-term? What you know about him?
I do. I mean, I think that if San Diego came up and said, we're going to give you close to Mike Trout money, then I think that he would sign with San Diego. I do. Mookie Betts, we can talk about Boston. And a lot of people in Boston say, oh, he doesn't like it here. And I did a podcast with him, and he admitted to me. He's like, when I first started playing Boston, I didn't like it. I didn't like the city. I didn't like, you know, he's from Nashville. He's sort of a smaller town guy. And I think that sort of that lifestyle in San Diego probably actually might suit him a little bit better than Boston does. Now, I think he's really evolved as a young man and come to like a lot of things about Boston and gotten used to the different sort of cities and adjusted. So I think that he would sign a lot of different places. I really do think a lot of this comes down to if you're willing to pay over $400 million for him.
Yeah, and I think that's how what it really boils down to most guys is, do you have the coin to make me like this place more? And I think that remains to be seen. Rob Bradford joins us here, covers the Red Sox on WEEI, our sister station, on the SDCCU fan hotline. Rob, it's been a few weeks now since the Alex Cora firing and the team deciding to really part mutually. Is there an update on the new manager? Because I did read or hear that there's a possibility they may not have one by the time spring training starts. And as a former player, I'm just, my mind explodes. I can't even imagine what a spring training looks like without a manager.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Oh, it happened for your dad once. I'll tell you later.
So here's the thing: is that I think here's what I think is happening. I think that they have this investigation going on with the Red Sox, and what I heard was the plan is to have the ruling of that investigation come out in the first week of February. Oh. I think they're waiting for that, okay. And I think if everyone in the Red Sox organization is convinced that they are not going to be found guilty of basically anything.
If that's
the case, then they're probably, my guess is they're probably going to hire a Ron Renneke or a Carlos Fabus, one of the guys on the coaching staff already. And in terms of not, you know, you heard all the interviewees for Houston. I think that the Red Sox are approaching this a little bit differently, like they did with Chaim Bloom, which is they're doing all the due diligence, and then they're going to identify the guy that they really want to go after.
Okay.
Because this is another big part of this, is that anybody they hire, you better make sure that they have nothing in their past that suggests that they cheated at backgammon. I mean, nothing. So I think that that's a big part of the equation right now.
All right, but here's the thing. Let's just say they get that the hammer comes down and they lose draft picks. Let's just say it happens. That makes the San Diego deal to me a little different because they've got a stock. They may have to restock their farm system. You're not going to have draft picks for 2 years if something like Houston comes along. And you can get, do they really want prospect like Campusano, the catcher the Padres have? Or do they want that pitcher, Quantrill or Lucchese? What do you think is the biggest thing that the Red Sox are going to be looking for in a potential trade with Mookie?
I think a pitcher. I mean, I think you have to get a pitcher back because this whole equation for the Red Sox right now hinges on the top of the rotation, and you have three guys totally uncertain who you're paying a ton of money to. Yeah, Chris Sale, David Price, Nathan Eovaldi. So you need guys that you can control for a few years that you feel are going to be top of the rotation guys. And so I think that has to be the priority going forward. There's no question.
Rob, appreciate your time, man. It was awesome getting the perspective out on the other side of the rumor mill that that has kind of engulfed both teams. I appreciate your time, and we can hopefully we can get together again. Maybe if this thing happens, we can get together again.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to get a perspective from the other side too, because like I said, this is, you put Mookie Betts up in the headline now, and people are, this is all the,
hey, here's the perspective. Take Will Myers off everybody's hands here, and you can have him.
Yeah, that's the part that people in Boston aren't so thrilled about.
Well, he's a good guy.
I can tell you,
I know.
I can tell you, Rob, the folks out here, once that rumor hit, at least on our phone lines, that's all they're talking about. They want Mookie Betts bad. So, and with some of the things that the ownership has said here, heads could roll if they don't play well. I think the Padres are
AJ Peller's in a contract year, right?
I think he might be willing to press to get him. So we'll see. Nevertheless, Rob, thank you for your time, man.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. That was Rob Bradford, who covers the Red Sox for WEEI on the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU for you or visit SDCCU.com. All right.
We have the biggest fan name.
Biggest fan name. Oh, yes, we do. I do have to get that out.
The Padres didn't have a star spring training without a manager once.
What year was that?
86. Dick Williams quit, and they had on the first day of spring training.
Well, he quit on the first
day. He quit.
That's different, though.
They had no manager.
These guys had they've had a long time to get one, and they've decided that they were going to wait. Well, if
I covered that team,
if what Rob says is correct, they're going to wait and they'll have one before spring training starts. But it would just be chaos, pure chaos, if you didn't have a manager in there. Because most of spring training is about order and guys needing to know where to go. Yeah. Manager's the one that's in charge of that most of the time. And if you don't have one, everybody's going to be on their own.
I can just imagine everybody just walking in circles the entire time.
John Boyes, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. You have won a family four-pack of tickets to SeaWorld's Lunar New Year celebration and will be entered to win our grand prize. A road trip to see Aerosmith's Deuces Are Wild residency show at the Park MGM in Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. All right, when we return, we have our first Big Five of the week.
Yes, we do.
Hopefully Matthew's got his game ready to go. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .436 on the dial. Tony Gwynn Jr., Tom Friend, Thomas Andrews, Matt Scraby. Before we get to this Big Five, however, we need to get some traffic, and Sue D's really here for that.
Guys, three cars in a fender bender in the North County. It's westbound 78 just east of Nordahl. We got traffic stopped up coming off the 15 and on the eastbound side for miles as you approach Sycamore. A couple of trouble spots on southbound 5. A four-car collision just north of SeaWorld Drive. Then watch for a motorcyclist down on the right side of southbound 5 north of the 94. Traffic remains stacked up from the split into the South Bay. Sue DeVincent with Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I really didn't need to say really when I was referring to Sue. I could have just said she's here for it. This is what I was trying to say. She's not just here for the traffic report.
Yeah, it's okay.
It came out wrong. I apologize.
We all understood. You have any Big Five topics, you need to find me at Matt Scraby. I can't check my Twitter anymore because earlier on the producer show from noon to three, shameless plug number three of the day, I said that I didn't want Mookie Betts to come to San Diego. And now I'm being called a prospect hugger.
You are.
I'm being called other things. I am stinking up the joint. I'm on Twitter, yeah. I'm on Twitter. But bring it.
Twitter can be like that sometimes.
Bring it. You know what? I'm not afraid to have this opinion.
You should be.
And someone who tweeted us earlier talking about Kobe and how some of the players right now are not playing. Spencer Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie is the one who's changing from 8 to 26. Well, someone tweeted in, Airman Fur 22, he said, talking about players electing to not wear number 8 out of respect to Kobe is similar to NASCAR not using the number 3, which was Dale Earnhardt's number, until they felt like it was time. The NBA players would do the same. So
I agree.
Kobe doesn't wear 8 anymore.
He doesn't. I'm not quite sure about it.
It's retired. Yeah. So, I mean, in a lot of people's minds, especially some of the guys who've seen him play in both numbers. Number eight was a savage.
One player who wore 8, like Earnhardt, I mean, you know, number 3.
Yeah.
That's a different story. I don't know if I can make that comparison, but that's all right. Good point.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, how can I tell someone that they can't honor their favorite player growing up
They may be right.
I
think you're honored by wearing
Dinwiddie is wearing 26. 2 plus 6, obviously, is 8. So he's still getting his 8 feel one way or the other, but it's just not the number.
Now we're kind of stretching.
No, it's not stretching at all. That's usually how things go.
I wonder when LeBron's going to.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Honor Kobe in that first game back.
Championship.
No, first game back.
We'll have to talk about that later, but he said it in his Instagram post. I'm taking the legacy on my shoulders.
I, you know what? I always knew LeBron was going to do that or going to try to do that anyway, but I think
he's got to win one more title.
It's something, this tragedy that's occurred, I think is going to, we've seen LeBron, we already think he's playing out of his mind at the age of 35. I won't be surprised at all if he goes on some ridiculous tear from this point on to the very end of the season.
I'm going to call an audible. Let's go to number five. We're going to talk about LeBron James's Instagram post here that he put out yesterday for Kobe, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff he wrote in it. And let me just read it to you again because I think it's pretty good. I'm not ready, but here I go. Man, I'm sitting here trying to write something for this post, but every time I try, I begin crying again just thinking about you, niece Gigi, and the friendship bond brotherhood we had. I literally just heard your voice on Sunday morning before I left Philly to head back to L.A. Didn't think for one bit in a million years that you would be that would be the last conversation we'd have. I'm heartbroken and devastated, my brother. Man, I love you, big bro. My heart goes out to Vanessa and the kids. Here's where I want us to focus. I promise you I continue your legacy, man. You mean so much to us here, all here, especially LA Lakers and the Lakers Nation. And it's my responsibility to put this on my back and keep it going. Please give me the strength from the heavens above and watch over me. I got us here. There's so much more I want to say, but just can't right now. So that was LeBron's first words about the death of Kobe Bryant. And we're just going to start with this. Tony, what do you think that LeBron means? What is the legacy that LeBron is trying to continue?
The one theme that we've heard throughout all the stories that have been going on the last 48 hours is two things. Obviously, championships was part of Kobe's legacy, but the ability to want to get better and to play with as if this was your last game every single time out. That was the one quality. You know, Kobe did a lot of amazing things on the basketball court, but the one thing we all attached ourselves to was playing the game like it was going to be his last game. Even if you didn't like him, you had to respect that. And that's why we're seeing the outpour that we're seeing from him, is because we could all attach ourselves to, you know what, I'm going to play like this is my very last opportunity to ever play. And that's how he played. I think that's really the main thing, other than the championships, that I think LeBron's going to try to accomplish. It's that.
You know what?
Tom, am I on? Oh, yeah, I am on. My headphones weren't on.
That's a really good point, what Coney just said, because I'll be honest. I never thought LeBron was even close to being the competitor that Kobe was. And I don't – if that's what changes, holy smokes.
My God.
Because he's not that guy. He's not like Michael. He's not like Kobe in that he wants to beat you at tiddlywinks. He wants to beat you at any ping pong or whatever you're playing. He's just – he has more things going on. He's kind of – I don't know. He just doesn't strike me that way.
The game comes easy because of his size and his build. And
his degree of difficulty is not what those guys
were. It doesn't have to be. And because of that, that's if there's one knock when you say something about LeBron James compared to Michael and Kobe is that he didn't have the killer instinct.
No. If he has that.
I think we're going to start seeing that. I think that's really the only thing he can do to honor
Kobe. And
that's
what he's going to have to do to win a title because this is not LeBron of 5 years ago.
No.
He needs help. Now, AD's going to have to help him. You know, Danny Green's going to have to help him. All these guys, are going to have to step up too.
I also think we can't dismiss the fact that all those other guys that you're talking about,
they're going to be motivated
all
too.
Feel the same exact way too. That LeBron does.
Yeah. I honestly can't wait to see what happens over the next few months. Number four. Kobe Bryant fans really, really want the game he loved to pay tribute to him in a special way. As of this afternoon, a petition calling on the NBA to update its logo to honor Bryant had amassed more than 2 million signatures. We all know that him and his daughter and seven others perished in a helicopter crash on Sunday. The creator Nick M. wrote on the change.org petition, quote, "With the untimely and unexpected passing of the great Kobe Bryant, please sign this petition in an attempt to immortalize him forever as the new NBA logo." He added that he hoped our dream does come true and we are able to see Kobe Bryant engraved into the NBA logo. Celebrities including Snoop Dogg, Justin Bieber, and Naomi Campbell have all offered their support for the change, but Tom, should they at least consider to change the logo to Kobe's silhouette?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. It's the most no-brainer of the history of mankind, which is not some commercial I always hear around here. But let me just say this. Honestly, Jerry West is not going to be ticked off if he loses the logo to Kobe. He drafted Kobe. So in essence, he's just passing on the logo he drafted him. Here's the other thing. I'll take it a step further. Gigi Bryant should be the WNBA logo. How's that one?
Wow.
I didn't even think about it that
I didn't
far,
even think about
yeah.
that either. But it makes sense.
I mean, that's where her dream was to play in the WNBA.
And according to Kobe she was
going to
well
get there.
On her way.
And I read a bunch of WNBA players come out yesterday and said that even though she didn't get to impact the WNBA, she had already impacted the WNBA just by her father linking her
Kobe had embraced women's basketball. Women's basketball is in a better place because of Kobe Bryant.
No,
Gigi Bryant.
No doubt about it. I would love to see Kobe be the logo. I just don't want it to be controversial. I feel like
it should be an easy decision.
I agree with you, Tom. I don't think Jerry West would have any problem with it at all. It'd be virtually him passing it on to his
people. He would love it.
Because
he
looked at
it.
Kobe as a son, as you heard him say the other day. That would be disheartening if it became something that became like a controversy. And I never thought about Gigi with the WNBA, but that would be pretty cool too. I could get on board with both of those.
Yeah, yep. Me too.
Number three.
Kansas City Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt said Tyreek Hill's behavior during the season validated the team's decision to sign the Pro Bowl wide receiver to a contract extension shortly before week one. He said, quote, "His first year with us, there were some question marks coming into the league. We never had any issues with him. He always was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing, accountable to the team, listening to his coaches, being a good teammate. I think we've seen that grow the last 3 or 4 years. Certainly, I sense a heightened level of maturity from him this year, which is probably a byproduct of the challenges he went through earlier this year." End quote. We know that Tyreek Hill joined the Chiefs as a fifth-round pick in 2016, 8 months after he pleaded guilty in Oklahoma to punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend while he was in college. But in April 2019, an audio tape surfaced of Tyreek Hill and his then-fiancée discussing how their son received injuries and whether they may have been caused by Hill. The Johnson County District Attorney's Office in Kansas City investigated but declined to press charges against Hill at the time. So, Tony, do you think this is a tone-deaf comment by Clark Hunt?
It probably is. That probably it is. It's a little. It's too early for that. You know, you're in trouble from 16 to 18, or 16. What'd you say? Was that
he came in 16 and then he got in trouble last summer or last April?
But you came out. You came out of college with some issues.
With issues, yes.
You get in trouble during the off season of this year, of this season, of this NFL season. I just think you gotta let more time pass before you start giving out kudos for doing something that we should be doing anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
there's a Chris Rock skit.
Good behavior is, I mean, shouldn't that all be what is expected of all of
yeah,
us?
Yeah, Chris Rock says, like, "I'm tired of my friends saying, I take care of my kids.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
You're supposed to."
But yeah, I think it is tone deaf. And sometimes, I mean, some of the most tone deaf things come from owners who are completely isolated sometimes from the regular world. So it doesn't surprise me all that much that an owner had a tone-deaf comment. Generally speaking, tone-deaf mm-hmm. comments come from people who aren't amongst the norm.
Good point. Tom, what do you think? Do you think this is a tone-deaf comment by Clark Hunt?
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one.
Okay. I like devil's advocate.
We're not there. We're not in that building. We're not in that office.
Touche.
And maybe, you know, what happens. There's kids who come in professional sports and don't handle the money and the fame and the entourage and everything that goes along with it. And eventually they figure it out. I mean, Allen Iverson figured it out.
Good point.
You know, I'm just saying, I'm probably tone deaf, but maybe he did see something. Let's try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
The thing is, in my opinion, he very well could have saw something. But based on how much your particular star has been in the media,
I would call him a model citizen.
You could have just saved that for him, you and him personally. Like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, man, I appreciate
you making the right steps.
You're making the right steps.
It's not over yet.
No, right. Exactly. Saying something like this could lead a guy who may not be ready to hear that yet to think that he's got it right.
Right. Because let me tell you something. There have been some Super Bowl nights before Super Bowls incidents before.
Yes.
He ain't through the week yet.
No. You ain't even got to the good part of the week yet where bad stuff can happen.
There was a very famous incident here in San Diego. Didn't show up to the Super Bowl.
The center for the Raiders. Yes. And then there was something that happened with the Cincinnati Bengal night before a Super Bowl. So Stanley Wilson,
I forget his name right now.
Yes. I covered that thing.
I don't remember.
I'm
that
old.
One.
I can't remember.
Interesting. And I'm old. I can't remember that. But,
yeah. Number two.
Deion Sanders burst onto the college football scene in the late 80s as one of the stars of Florida State under Bobby Bowden, but now he envisions walking in Bowden's shoes on a college football sideline in the near future. Today he appeared on the Dan Patrick Show, and he made some pretty interesting comments regarding his plans for the very near future. He said, quote, "I'm going to be a head coach in college football next year." Deion Sanders said. This isn't the first time he's put his name into the hat regarding college football coaching vacancies. He was mentioned actually in connection with Florida State's offseason search that resulted in the hiring of former Memphis coach Mike Norvell. He told Dan Patrick he also interviewed for another coaching vacancy but did not name the school. So, Tom, where do you think Deion Sanders would fit best as a college football coach, head coach?
In a fictional movie? I don't mean that. But you know what?
You can say that if you want.
As far as next year, I don't see that happening next year. Okay,
I mean, that's months away.
I think Deion is going to inspire a lot of young guys and would be a good coach. There's no question about it. Deion is not the flash and dash that you think he is. There's a shtick that goes on with him. He sits down, the TV light goes on, and he's gonna talk the way what he says.
Wait, prime time talks.
Right. But the real prime time, and then there's Deion. Right? He even said that in the 30 for 30 documentary. And there's a real Deion that would be a heck of a coach. But is it going to happen next year? No, I don't think so. But
I think the reason why he says next year is because his youngest son will be moving into college. This is the quarterback that he's coaching right now at, I can't remember the name of the school, but he's got another son at South Carolina who just finished his freshman year. I actually thought Florida State was going to be the fit when I first heard about it, but it'll be interesting. I don't know where exactly the right place is. Deion really could coach anywhere. He has that kind of gravitas to bring able to recruit. He knows the game. I marveled when listening to him during the All-American game. He was running the guys through drills, and he was picking up like the smallest nuance about
feet
being turned out or where your weight was. Yeah. And you could tell that he's an educator. And I always enjoyed, I know for myself personally, I enjoyed coaches that were educators, that loved to teach.
People don't know the real Deion. That's the thing.
No. If you follow his Instagram, you get to know the real Deion. Yeah. He's got a powerful message.
I guess I need to follow Deion.
He's a good follow, for sure.
I grew up a 49ers fan. Deion was my favorite player.
He wasn't there very long, but
no.
He made an impact.
He made his impact.
Ask Michael Irvin.
Ask Andre Rison.
That's him.
Number one.
Super Bowl week could be critical for the NFL's collective bargaining negotiations, with 30 NFLPA team player reps scheduled to meet with union leadership on Thursday for an update. Part of the message NFLPA Executive Director Demora Smith wants to send to his players is that If they want to dig in their heels on any one issue, including the owner's push for an expanded 17-game regular season, they have to be willing to take it all the way. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to read this long quote, but...
give us some context then.
Okay, so, all right, let me read this part of the quote. He said, quote, DeMar Smith did, I'm here with a group of people who are willing to take a labor action, and people need to understand that it's really easy to call for a work stoppage. It's really hard to win one. So that's why I started notifying players 4 years ago about saving their checks, making changes to their debt structure, and the reality is that if we want to hold out and get everything we want, that's probably going to mean a 2-year strike. I refuse to ever look at any part of the deal with a myopic focus. So, Tony... are you worried about an NFL work stoppage for 2 years?
I'm certainly not worried about an NFL stoppage for 2 years.
Didn't this happen like, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
It wasn't. Everybody thought it was going to be like the whole year, and it didn't even last that long. Here's the thing. This is what happens in collective bargaining agreements. You got to throw the chum in the water. You got to let the other side know how far you're willing to take this. This is not by accident that he's releasing this during the Super Bowl week. He wants them to know we're prepared. And based on what the players are saying out there, they are not on board with a 17-game season. So, I think with that, considering how much the owners want it, players got a little bit of leverage. If, which has been their biggest backbone, their biggest Achilles heel, if they can stay together. That's the one thing that separates.
It's never happened.
It has never happened. It's the one thing that separates Major League Baseball from all the rest of the unions, Major League Baseball Players Association from all the rest of the unions. It's a tight knit group. Nobody crosses. That's not the case in football. Not the case in football.
Tom, what do you think? Are you worried about an NFL work stoppage?
You notice how he said
work stoppage or 2 year stoppage? That's what you asked me.
Because notice he said
2 year stoppage.
If we want to get everything we want. 2 years. You never get everything you want. Okay, right. It's just not going to happen. The 17-game schedule is going to happen, but what I think is the NFL needs to show some mercy and have 2 bye weeks for these kids, because there's no way that the NFL season is a battle of attrition. The team you see in September is never the team you see, and the team that you see in December or January, and if it is, you're in the Super Bowl. Because the teams that avoid the injuries are the ones, or get their guys back, are the ones that make the run.
Yeah.
I mean, so I just don't see, I don't see there'll be a work stoppage. Honestly, the NFL's damage from the 87 strike was so bad. They missed games, and there were scabs, and it was just, I don't think they ever want to go back to that. And I
it was bad does. Football, wasn't it? I don't remember.
It was entertaining, actually.
It was?
The Redskins went 3-0.
That's why it was entertaining.
Go watch Redskins fan.
Go watch the Replacements 30 for 30. It was pretty darn good.
But I did watch it. That was a good one.
I was going to say Keanu Reeves documentary was good, too.
But my point is that I don't think... Hey, the Chargers went 2-1 during that strike. You know who the quarterback was for the Chargers during the 87 strike?
That was 4. I don't remember.
Rick Neuheisel.
Whoa!
He was the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers.
Wow.
But look, they're not going to do that again.
No. All right. I'm glad to be back in the Big Five, everyone.
Me too.
That's it for the Big Five today on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is great. GREAT, like Tony the Tiger. See, I did that right there. Text GREAT to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fan's National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. All right, we'll reset the show. 5 o'clock hour around the corner. Still talking Kobe. Still really reeling from his death. Whole world. Winning Chris. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.